1995 is when the verdict came out, I believe. I was a freshman in high school. The verdict came out when I was in, see, I say I'm a freshman in high school, and people started immediately talking to each other. I was in my PE class, and that's when everything came down. But Cato Kaelin is famous, for the most part, he apparently did some other things, but he is famous for being a witness in the trial. And as I was preparing for the message this week, I asked my wife, I said, who's the most famous witness in any trial that you can think of? And her immediate response was, well, that guy in the O.J. Simpson trial. And for most of us, when we think famous witness, that's where many of us turn, is one Cato Kaelin. We understand the purpose of a witness. A witness is to bear testimony about something that they have seen or heard or believed to be true. There are expert witnesses who bear witness about things that they are experts in fields they are experts in the field of, where maybe blood splatter and numerous different criminal things. They have character witnesses where people would come up and be a witness and bear testimony to the character of an individual for or against that person. And so they have all these different things of witness, and we understand what it means to bear witness and to be a witness. And then in Acts chapter 5 here, we see that it is the role of the Holy Spirit to be a witness, to bear testimony and to give testimony. As we're following the storyline of Acts and we come to Acts chapter 5, and as we're looking at the role of the Holy Spirit, what can we learn about the Holy Spirit? What does the Bible teach us about the Holy Spirit here in the book of Acts? Today, tonight, we will be seeing that it is the job of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here to bear witness. It has been sent to bear witness. Now, in Acts chapter 5 and verse 12, we pick up here in verse 12, and the apostles are regularly going to what they call Solomon's Colonnade, and they are performing miracles and miracles and miracles. Now, they are not doing it. The Holy Spirit is doing it through them. So we see the Holy Spirit performing these miracles. They are causing a commotion. Really, a revolution is beginning to happen. The religious officials are being concerned with what's going on, so they arrest them. In verse 17, they are sent to prison in verse 17, and while they are there, in the middle of the night, they are freed by an angel. Security guards wake up, they are to go get the apostles. The apostles find that they are not there. Eventually, in verse 26, the temple priests, those who are in control of the council, they go and they get these apostles, bring them before themselves, and in verses 26 through 32, we have the apostles before the council, giving testimony of all that they're doing. And this is kind of the climax, the high point of the story, as they give testimony. And then the story concludes with a man named, by the name of Gamaliel. And Gamaliel gives wisdom to the rest of the council, saying, if this is from God, we cannot stop it. But if it is not truly from God, then it will end on its own, and we don't have to do anything about it. And there's much wisdom behind what is said there. But central to this story is what is said in verses 29 through 32, and that's where we're going to draw the brunt of our focus tonight, is these three verses in the middle of this story, which all of the story is really set up for these verses that the apostles state, and that we hear this information about the Holy Spirit and what the apostles are doing. So they're in front of the councils here in verse 29, and the council has told them they need to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had murdered by hanging him on a tree. God exalted this man to his right hand as ruler and savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And this is the verse we will focus on tonight. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. We are witnesses, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given. Let's pray. God, we pray tonight that as we focus on the truth that you have given us, your Spirit, to bear witness about Christ and what he has done for us, God, that we would listen in our hearts to the witness, the testimony of the Holy Spirit. your Spirit would bear witness with our spirit. The Spirit that calls us to cry out, Abba, Father, is the same Spirit who constantly refers back to the works of Christ. May we listen to that Spirit tonight. May that same Spirit that is in the hearts of believers and urged the apostles to bear witness, to obey God rather than man, may your Spirit be in this place bringing conviction and testifying to those here of the grace and the mercy, the love, of the completed work of Christ. May Christ be honored tonight, the gospel be esteemed tonight, the gospel that the Holy Spirit is constantly testifying about, bearing witness of, may that gospel be upon our hearts tonight. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we have this theme that's brought out here in verse 32, that the apostles and the Holy Spirit must witness the things of Christ. And so we've been talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit and the things that occur as a result of being filled. And last week we talked about how boldness comes. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, and as a result of that filling, they then preach the gospel with boldness. And here in verse 32 of chapter 5, we see that the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit is to witness of the things of Christ, because the Holy Spirit is a witness to the things of Christ. It's a natural progression. We are praying, God, fill us with the Holy Spirit. And God says, well, the role of the Holy Spirit is to witness, to bear witness of the things of Christ. So if I am filled with the one who was sent to bear witness of the things of Christ, then the logical progression must be that I would then now bear witness to the things of Christ. And so the apostles say that here. They say, we are bearing witness to the things of Christ just as the Holy Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit is the one that God sent to those who obey Him and is the power to bear witness to the things of Christ. So we're going to look at the Holy Spirit bearing witness. The Holy Spirit is a witness first. It is a witness of Christ. What do the witnesses say? We are witnesses of these things. What things? What did they just mention beginning in verse 29? The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had murdered by hanging him on a tree. God exalted this man to his right hand as ruler and savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of these things. He is bearing witness first of Christ's works, of his works, the works of Jesus, the finished work of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is constantly bearing witness of. We're going to look at numerous verses to assist us as we seek to understand what the Holy Spirit bears witness to and what He's doing as witness. So John chapter 15, verses 26 through 27, Jesus is speaking here, and He speaks of a coming counselor. And when the counselor comes, the one I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from me, He will testify about me. You also will testify because you have been with me from the beginning. So the Spirit is sent to testify about Christ, about the works of Christ, about the resurrection of Christ, about the death of Christ, about the perfect life of Christ, about the unity between Christ and the Father, about all that Christ has completed on our behalf. The Holy Spirit is constantly bearing witness, not just to us, as we will see here in the future. So John 5:39 as well, he's speaking to the Pharisees, and he says, you pore over the Scriptures. Who wrote the Scriptures? The Spirit. Because you think you have eternal life in them, yet they, the Scriptures, which were written by the Holy Spirit, testify about me. The Holy Spirit witnesses of Christ, of the work of Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 says, this is how you know the Spirit of God. If you're testing the spirits, this is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit who confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. How do I know that the things that are going on here are of the Holy Spirit? Well, who or what is being esteemed is being borne witness to? Is it esteeming men? Is it esteeming emotion? Is it esteeming pleasure? Is it esteeming just a sense of enjoyment, a life experience? What is being esteemed? If Christ is being esteemed, Christ in his death and resurrection, 1 John says, that spirit is from God. Verse 3, but every spirit who does not confess Jesus, every spirit that is focused on something else other than Christ, is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. You've heard that he is coming, and he is in the world now. And so he's saying there's multiple spirits. There's multiple spirits that are going to come into the lives of different individuals, and they're going to say that this is the spirit of God, that what is going on here is from God. And how you can be sure that what is going on is from God is, does this spirit cause Christ to be honored and glorified? Does it bear witness of the work of Christ? In 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, it says, Jesus Christ, he is the one who came by water and blood, not by water only, but by water and by blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies that Jesus came by water and blood, because the Spirit is the truth. So we have constantly throughout the New Testament, Christ has given us the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he has given us, and the Holy Spirit is here to speak of the works of Christ, to speak of the life, the perfect, sinless life that was lived sinlessly on our behalf, the death, the brutal, horrendous, torturous, sacrificial death that he did not deserve, but he willingly laid down his life for us. Of the burial of Christ, of laying 3 days in the tomb, and the resurrection of Christ. That in that resurrection, he defeats sin and death on our behalf, and that through the works of Christ, we now have the ability to be forgiven and to know God. And if there is a spirit present that is not testifying of those things, then that spirit is not of God, because the Spirit is a witness, and the Spirit is bearing witness of the works of Christ. It is also bearing witness to the glory of Christ. Look in John chapter 16, verse 14. Jesus is speaking again. He says, he, the Spirit, will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. The Spirit isn't looking for glory for himself. He's not looking for glory for the man that is filled with the Spirit. The Spirit is looking for the glory of Christ. The Spirit is sharing with us what Christ has. And in so doing, the Spirit is constantly saying, no, it's not about me. It's not about what I'm doing. The Spirit says, it's about Christ. It's about what he's done. It's about what he did on the cross. It's about his resurrection. It's about his glory and not my glory. The Spirit is constantly testifying of the glorious Christ. And he's testifying that Christ is going to return. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, Paul writes this. He says, for we know that if our temporary earthly dwelling is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal dwelling in the heavens, not made with hands. Indeed, we groan in this body, desiring to put on our dwelling from heaven, since when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. Indeed, we groan while we are in this tent, burdened as we are, because we do not want to be unclothed but clothed, so that mortality may be swallowed up by death. So Paul is talking about this longing for eternity, a longing for perfection, a longing for a perfect body. And then in verse 5, and the one who prepared us for this longing for heaven, for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a down payment. And so the Spirit in us is saying there's something greater, there's something coming, that Christ is returning, Christ is going to come back and give us perfect bodies and perfect lives and eternal perspective and a way to look at eternality completely differently. And so the Spirit is yearning with us, let eternity come, let Christ return. Christ's glory, Christ's work, Christ coming again. And the Spirit is constantly bearing witness of all these things. If the Spirit is present, he is saying Christ has worked. He has worked gloriously, and he is worthy of glory. And this work that he did is finished. It is work that does not demand in any way any work from our behalf whatsoever. Jesus said, it is finished. The work is done. And the Spirit keeps saying that. So because of that, Jesus is worthy of glory. And the Spirit is bearing witness of these things and witnessing to that. And those who are in Christ can look forward to the day when Christ will return. And so the Spirit is constantly bearing witness to Christ, of his works, of his glory, and his coming again. And in the same way that the Spirit is doing that, we are to do that as well, because the method that the Spirit uses to witness is through believers. That the Spirit speaks, the Spirit bears witness through believers. Look at what the apostles say. Verse 32, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit. But without them speaking, the council has no clue the Holy Spirit is bearing witness to these things. And so the Spirit speaks and bears witness through the witness of believers. In Acts chapter 2, verses 32 and 33, it says, God has resurrected this Jesus, and we are all witnesses of this. Therefore, since he has been exalted to the right hand of God and has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, he has poured out what you both see and hear. So the Spirit came on the apostles, and then they bear witness. Why do they then bear witness after the Spirit comes? Because the Spirit's role is to bear witness. And how he bears witness is through believers. Spirit comes, believers filled, witness occurs through believers. Is the normal pattern of the Holy Spirit. Can the Holy Spirit speak on its own? It's God. The Holy Spirit can do what he wants. But the Holy Spirit chooses to do is to use believers like you and me and Peter and Paul and Simon and Timothy and on down the lineage of church history and says, yes, the Spirit bears witness of Christ's glory, of his works, of his return, but the way in which he bears witness is through faithful, Spirit-filled believers. So the apostles begin that process. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 reinforces this same thing. How will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was first spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. So people heard from the Lord and then bore witness the great salvation. And at that same time, God also testified in the past by signs and wonders and various miracles and distributions of gifts from the Holy Spirit according to his will. So God used the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit used other believers to speak of the glorious salvation that many neglect. Romans chapter 15, verse 19, Paul says, by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit, I have fully proclaimed the good news. So the Spirit in me has given me power to bear witness of the work of Christ. That his ability to be a witness was based on the Spirit's role as one who bears witness of the things of Christ. Your ability and my ability to be a witness is based on the Holy Spirit's role as witness. And if we are saying, I am filled with the Spirit, I long for the Spirit, and we are not witnessing to the works and glory and coming of Christ, we are not filled with the Spirit. If we are lacking boldness and lacking and witnessing, it is because we are lacking the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit comes and he bears witness. He bears witness of Christ, of his works, of his glory, of his coming return. He does it through believers, and he does it to the world. The Spirit bears witness to the world. Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And what will then happen? And you will be my witnesses. Holy Spirit comes. You will be my witnesses. Why will they then be his witnesses? Why didn't he just say, I will depart from you, and then you will be my witnesses to all Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and at some point the Spirit will come. No, he's saying, you will be my witnesses after the Spirit comes. The Spirit will come on you, and then after the Spirit comes, the one who bears witness of Christ, the one who bears witness of the things of Christ and the glory of Christ and the return of Christ, after you've been filled with that Spirit, then after that, you will be my witnesses. In the same way as the Spirit is a witness, we too are called to be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Spirit bears witness of Christ through believers to the world. The way in which Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Fairfield, Hamilton, Cincinnati, Middletown, Monroe, Lakota, Westchester, wherever you may live, Trenton, Edgewood, Blue Ash, the way in which those communities will hear the Spirit testifying about Christ is through believers testifying of Christ. So the Spirit comes. And the Spirit comes to bear witness of the person of Christ, to give testimony of what he has seen of Christ, to give testimony of what Christ has done on behalf of sinners. And he does so through believers to a lost and dying world. And so the question for us is God has called us to be a bold witness to the world. And we spoke last week about the need for boldness, the need to be bold believers, to live a life of boldness so that we not look back at the end of our life and wish that we had accomplished more, and we were so fearful that we didn't live boldly. And he says to us, be bold witnesses. But he's equipped us to do that. So often we've asked people to do things that we haven't equipped them for. Many times in churches and different jobs. I don't know if in your occupation or as a student you've ever been asked to do something and not been equipped to do that actual job. It's a massively frustrating thing. And for believers, sometimes I think we get into this place that we know that we're called to be witnesses. We know that we're called as believers to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So your location, your job, your neighborhood, your family, you're called to be a witness. We understand that, but we always feel like, I just don't feel equipped to do that. But the Bible says that if you're in Christ, then you have the Spirit in you. And the Spirit's job is to testify, to bear witness, and you have the Spirit in you, then you've been equipped to be a witness. We have to come to that conclusion as believers. That no, you cannot do it. You cannot, you in your own power, speak to your neighbor about Christ. You cannot, in your own power, reach the nations for Christ. You cannot, in your own power, speak to anyone you work with about Christ. You cannot, in your own power, be a witness to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But God has equipped you with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, whom God has sent to bear witness of the things of Christ, of the glory of Christ, of the coming of Christ. And he is in you. So he's called us to be a bold witness to the nations. But he's also equipped us. He has equipped us with the Holy Spirit to enable us to accomplish the task. But when we seek to accomplish the task in our own strength and our own ability, we do not rely on the one that has been sent to bear witness. That is when we fall into frustration. And so our prayer tonight, as we pray together and as we sing together, let us pray that we would rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to speak through us, to bear witness through us. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word and for the Spirit that testifies of Christ and his accomplished works. We pray that that Spirit would testify even now. And many in this room are believers. We have believed in the testimony of the Spirit. As a result of those things, the Spirit now indwells in us. God, we pray that we who are filled with the Spirit would then take and allow the Spirit to do what he has been sent to do. And help us to live in the Spirit boldly, witnessing to the things of Christ. We pray these things in your name.